Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Michael Mergens, Andrew Abbey on assignment today. Bob's feeling a little bit under the weather, so we're glad that you're here with us today. We're going to be talking a lot of basketball, both at the junior college and Southern Miss basketball, as they take on the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina tonight. This first segment brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a big supporter of Southern Miss Athletics. And take in your Eagle Club card. You never know what kind of discount that you might get there at Dickey's. And leave your catering needs, big or small, to Dickey's. Our first guest today is the head basketball coach at Jones College, Newton Mueller, who played on MK Turk's basketball teams at Southern Miss from 1989 to 1993, a member of two NCAA tournament teams that the Eagles went to, where they played LaSalle and North Carolina State. But tonight, he will be engaged in a heck of a junior college basketball game in Poplarville, where Jones and Pearl River are pretty much playing for the MACCC Men's Championship tonight. It all comes down to this, essentially, although both teams do have a couple of games left. Coach Mueller, I knew you as Newt when you were a player, so forgive me, Newt, if I slide into that every once in a while.
No problem.
Hey, man, this is a big one tonight. Tell us about it.
Yeah, obviously it is a big one, and it's big for two reasons. In this area, it's a rivalry game. So even at the junior college level, you know, we still got that rivalry feel. And so, you know, it's always a rivalry game when us two get together. But now the stakes are a little bit higher as both teams are tied at the top of the MAC, as you just said. And, you know, for all purposes, if we do what we're supposed to do the rest of the season, you know, I think this game comes down to who's going to have an opportunity to win the MAC championship. So, you know, you just got a little bit more put on top in a rivalry basketball game. But what better way for our players and our fans and both communities to come out tonight to a heck of a basketball game and in my opinion, two really good teams.
What do you like most about your team, Coach Mueller, in Ellisville?
Yeah. So first of all, the maturity factor for us. This group that I have in 2 years were 50 wins and 10 losses. Last year we won the MAC, we won the Region 23, we won the Gulf South Conference. We came four games short of a national tournament. You know, the nucleus of that team, six guys returned. And they returned to get back to where we couldn't finish last year. So I like the maturity. I also like my scheduling, the way that we scheduled this year. We've played every big name you can think of. So we've been in these type games. We've been in this type environment. I don't think our players are fearful at all. I think we're excited about it. But our guard play, if you want to ask me one question, our guard play is really what makes this team go. We've got four shooters on the floor at all times, and we get downhill really well. And when we're shooting the ball well, we're just a hard team to beat.
Well, Oney's Pearl River Club, they always seem to figure out ways to win. Is it so much beating Pearl River tonight, or is it Jones just playing its style of basketball?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, we've had two or three staff meetings about what you just said. We got to go into Pearl River tonight, and we got to beat Jones. Like, we can't look at the different traps or the gimmick defenses that they're going to try to run and the style of play that they want to dictate the tempo. We got to go in from the very, very opening of the tip, and we've got to dictate what we're doing in tonight's game, and that's being Jones. And if you have seen our team play, we play fast, we play aggressive, we take a lot of threes, and we sit down and we guard you for 94 feet. And so, you know, if we're on our A game tonight, I feel really good about it. But you're right, Pearl River, they do some things to try to junk you up and try to play against their system. So I think it's going to be a real interesting matchup. But for us, we've just got to be who we are as we move into this game.
Well, it's going to be rocking tonight at the White Coliseum down in Poplarville. That's a scheduled 7:30 tip. Of course, that will depend on how the women's game prior to that progresses. But 7:30 tonight, Jones against Pearl River for essentially the MACCC Men's Championship. Now, going back to your playing days, Coach Mueller, at Southern Miss, did you always know that you wanted to get into coaching? And if not, when did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, so great question. You know, I thought I wanted to go into coaching, and then, you know, I met with Coach Turk and Coach McGinnis and Coach Moore, and, you know, I was going to come back and be a graduate assistant. And then I got the idea that I kind of wanted to work for Nike. And so, you know, my program for my game day, my senior year, it came out, you know, and it talked about me wanting to work in the Nike organization. And that was something that I felt strongly about. And then as we kind of got through that, I looked at broadcasting. And John Cox and I had talked a lot about sending me to broadcasting school and trying to get into that business. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I just love the game of basketball. I played for really, really good coaches who taught me a lot about not only basketball but life itself. And so I decided I wanted to make a difference, and so I got into coaching myself, and I've never looked back. And, you know, people say all the time, this is one of the toughest professions you can be in. I disagree. It's what you make of it, and it's how you go about your daily business, and I absolutely love making an impact on my players.
And you started at the high school level and then progressed rapidly to where you are at Jones now. The biggest difference between JUCO athletes and high school athletes in basketball, Newton Mueller, would be what?
Yeah, obviously the first thing is adapting to getting away from home, learning how to grow up and become a young man. And so that's one of the things that we like to do here at Jones. We put them in a leadership class, and we teach them how to be leaders and winners on and off the court. The second thing I would tell you, the difference between that high school player and that JUCO player is the speed of the game on both ends of the floor. Everybody at our level can score. And that's what we tell these guys when we're recruiting them. Like, hey, all of you can score, but can you come in here and be bigger, faster, stronger, and can you sit down and guard somebody? Because at our level, I believe everybody recruits the same type of athletes that can go score the basketball. But your system and how you go about your daily business has got to be what makes your program, and we talk about little things a lot inside of our program, but for those kids, it's learning how to adapt away from home, and then it's learning how to not be the star on their team, because everybody at our level, we went out and recruited everybody's star player.
And I talked to one of your colleagues recently, Billy Begley, the head coach at East Mississippi, and he added one other kind of note to that. That generally speaking, although high school coaches in Mississippi do a good job coaching basketball, there's not enough teaching on the defensive side of the basketball. Yes?
Yes, no question about it. And again, I love our high school coaches because I'm a high school coach at heart. I did it for a long time. But now that I'm at the next level, I mean, there are practices that I go to that I get really, you know, frustrated with sometimes, because we look at each other's staff and say, when we get this player, we're going to have to start from ground zero. You know, I hired Tim Walsh, who is a defensive guru, been in basketball for a long time. And, you know, so that's one of the things him and I talk about is, well, coach, they're not going to understand our philosophy or our terms. I do enjoy still getting high school kids because we can just start from the beginning and teach them everything that we need for our level. But obviously, when you get a D1 bounce back guy at our level, for the most part, they've at least been taught on the defensive end what we expect. And our expectations are high here at Jones. And that's why we win championships. We win championships on the defensive end of the floor. I'm a big offensive guy. I like my offensive system. I think we're leading the MAC in scoring for like the third year in a row, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I tell people this all the time. Recruits are begging to play in our program, and people want to pay to watch us because it's great entertainment, the style of play that we do. But it also takes a special young man to be able to come in here and do what we need them to do for 40 minutes a night.
Well, at the major, at the Division I level, of course, NIL, transfer portal, all that, we've heard about it ad nauseum. But Fred Hoiberg, the head basketball coach at Nebraska, said he thinks that that makes junior college coaches more marketable as D1 coaches because you guys have essentially dealt with transfer portals every single year because of the very nature of JUCO basketball. I thought that was really insightful.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I think Division I athletic directors are now looking really hard at junior college head coaches that are successful, and here's the reason why. Because every single year we are flipping our entire roster. And so it's basically we're bringing one team in, we're winning a championship, we're getting those kids where they need to go. And in our case this year, we've got six guys that have signed or will or have signed Division I scholarships. And those guys will go on and we will bring in a whole new roster next year. So I think ADs are now looking at junior college coaches for that reason. Because if we can do it at this level, which we're doing, and we're flipping rosters, and we're being successful, and we're showing that we're able to recruit, and also we're able to coach, well, then what would hurt to move us up to that next level when basically we're doing the exact same thing, but we're getting the NIL portion of it.
Yeah, and doing it every year. Well, Newt Mueller, his Jones Bobcats, will head to Poplarville tonight for a 7:30 tip-off of the MACCC Championship, in all practicality, against Pearl River. Newt, continued success. Thanks for being on the program.
Hey, thank you guys for always having me. And, you know, I always say this at the end, Southern Miss to the top, because that's my home. And, of course, Jones Bobcats are very, very special to me. And tonight we're excited to brand our product.
We'll see you soon, and coming up next, we'll talk about Southern Miss and Coastal Carolina. More basketball in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by Campus Bookmart and the Bright Gold Building across from the main campus on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, your one-stop shop for all your Southern Miss swag. It's not too early to actually be thinking about graduation for the seniors that are graduating in May. You can get ahead of the rest of the group there by going to Campus Bookmart or online at Campus Bookmart. With a T, .net, campusbookmart.net. Joining us now on the phone, which is really a rarity, and we thank him for being available on game day, because that was one of the superstitions back in the day, is that coaches or players would never be accessible to the media on the day of a game. Jay Ladner's Eagles will take on, finally, a home game for Southern Miss. Their last four will be at the Greenhouse, and the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina come to town. The Eagles looking to make it two in a row over Coastal Carolina, winning their last season 79-63. Coach Jay Ladner joins us. Coach, let's get these last four.
Got to, Kelly. We not happy with where we are with our one loss record, but our goals are still there in front of us, of course. We're 35-5 in our last 40 at home, so we've proven that we can win at home, and my gosh, this is just what the doctor ordered in terms of us being at home. We've played 8 out of 10, the last one's on the road. We've lost a few heartbreakers. Our confidence level's a little bit low. We need a win some kind of bad, and I just hope our fans will come out and not just quite give up on us yet. They still have a lot of fight in them. We've got to address some inconsistency. We'll play really, really well for a little while, and then inexplicably have a couple of bad turnovers or bad possessions, and it just seems like when that happens or something happens not quite our way, we'll wilt a little bit. Of course, then we'll kind of get back up, dust ourselves off, start playing well again. But we've got to eliminate those instances of inconsistent play, and I really think that's the bottom line. We've shown we can pull. We played well, very well at times, but even during the course of a game, it's just been a it's been somewhat frustrating. So, but the guys, the spirit's been good. I think just being home, you know, I was doing an interview, Kelly, with John Cox earlier today, and we talked about being on the road so much. And, of course, we don't control that. That's the league. I'm not sure why it played out like it did and didn't allow us, or I would hate for anybody to kind of have to go through that, any of the teams, because you just don't get a chance to get any momentum going. But after kind of going through it, when you have to travel the way that we travel, and what I mean by that is commercially, of course, a lot of bus riding. And even when we fly, you know, we'll have to bus to New Orleans, wait a couple hours there, and it's usually an all-day type deal. The biggest effect that I found is it affects your quality practice time. And, you don't really think about that until you're right amongst it. But, you know, so when you're traveling all day and you get to a location, say that where we are, where the guys are already worn out, you're not getting as much out of practice as a coach, you're conscious of that, and you try to maybe taper practice down and maybe not work quite as long because you're worried about their legs and getting rest. And you have to make some decisions there. And you know, if you have to do that consistently where you're leaving on a Monday night and not coming back till, you know, there were two of the trips we didn't get back till after 4 a.m. on Sunday morning after being gone all week. When you do that a couple, you know, back-to-back weeks, that it takes a toll on your practice time. And that's what's really been good the last couple of days. We got back at a decent time on Saturday night after the frustrating loss at Monroe. We gave them off Sunday, came back in Monday, able to get back to some fundamental work. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, our practice have been probably the best they've been all year. So the spirit's good. We're disappointed in where we are win-loss wise, and but again, still a lot to play for. We've got four critical home games, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, looking at the way the team has shaped up this year, rewinding the tape way back before the season, we thought if you could get, you know, guard play from both, you know, Curbelo and Nefta, and the team stayed healthy, which it has generally, you know, stayed healthy.
To a point, right?
Yeah, yep. You guys have spread the scoring around. Dinaje's been the stud. He's been the bell cow, you know, pretty much the most consistent performer, you know, on the team. But then Tegra Izay goes down, and that's what I wanted to ask. How much of the dynamic of this team and what you have to do offensively and defensively was changed because you didn't have access to Tegra?
Yeah, well, I can the biggest. First of all, Tegra is a probably improved. And Kelly, I can't remember if it was you or it was someone associated with the media that covers us that saw Tegra and said, "Who is that?" Thinking it was a new player. He had transformed his body. Never have I seen a player work as hard. We've had a lot of players that work hard in the offseason, but he just was really on a mission, and it was just unfortunate in our second or third game there that he tore his patella tendon, of course, out for the year. And there went our one player on our team that had the ability to guard size.
Okay.
And again, he had improved his mobility, his hands, meaning that you know, last year, of course, a lot of, and kind of rewind to 2 years ago, a lot of people would remember he'd get his hand on a lot of balls, but sometimes it'd bounce off of it. He had broken his wrist and, you know, didn't get his cast off until just a a week or so prior to the season starting, and he, you know, was weak and didn't have a lot of flexibility in his fingers, arms, wrists, and so forth. So he had a little bit of a tough time sometimes catching the ball with his left hand. And so anyway, but that has changed us a lot. We have some very good athletes, very athletic team, but we're not real big in the post. And when teams have exploited, Louisiana Monroe is a great example. Their strength is their big guys. They've got them really big and bulky up front. And you know, D'Anthony Gordon was actually out last Saturday with a back issue. Didn't even make the trip with us. We left him behind so he could get some shots and therapy. Of course, he's going to be. We think he's going to be able to give us a go tonight. He's practiced the last. Yesterday was his first day back. But that kind of goes back to the Tegra Izay thing. It's forced us way down in the our depth chart. We started a true freshman in there at the five Saturday, Christian Reed, who's had a good year for us. But he, you know, he's very, very undersized. So we're without Tegra, we're undersized in there, and the impact. I put all that in context to say this, to answer your question. The impact has been much more on the defensive end and the glass as opposed to as much on the offensive end. But again, he had improved so much. It just really hurt us. But those are part of the game. I don't want to make excuses. It's part of the game. But had we gotten hit, Kelly, in the guard position, maybe, you know, where we have more depth, in the wing position where we have more depth, we could have maybe been able to mitigate it a little bit better, as opposed to the one position where we were already thin. You know, it just seems like that's how that works sometimes. But anyway, I look forward to us being home. It surely feels so much better to go into a ball game. I thought our positive outlook among the players, their attitude and approach, just by being home the last couple, knowing what to expect at Reed Green has been a big plus. So hopefully we can win these. We take them one at a time. Need to win all four, get us to a good spot. We think if we could go win all four, that would get us to ninth. To sixth in the league, which would give us a couple of rounds of buys heading into, you know, the tournament there. And it's a really, really critical stretch for our season right here starting tonight.
Yeah, studs coming in after Coastal. You got Arkansas State coming in. You got Troy. You got South Al.
Louisiana. Louisiana,
yeah, that's
instead
right.
of Arkansas State.
That's right. That's right.
Louisiana Saturday night.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so those are all teams that are playing better, you know, basketball. Yep. But real quick, even if let's say you wind up in that sixth spot, the way that the tournament is set up, it's nearly impossible, Coach, isn't it, for really other than the semifinal teams to have a realistic chance at winning that tournament?
Well,
I mean, you don't say that, but the numbers.
Yeah, I think if you finish, I think if you get down lower than six, it's going to be really hard. You finish 11 through 14, you've got to win. I think you have to win six or seven games.
Right.
You know, on back to back nights.
Yeah.
And then each time you move up, let's say 10 or 11 through 14. If you can get to 9 and 10, you got to win 6. If you can get to 7 and 8, you got to win 5. And if you can get to, of course, to 5 or 6, you only have to win. You got to win 4. Well, that's more normal, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something that we think is at least obtainable. Not that we couldn't. I mean,
right.
we'll go in there swinging.
Sure.
You know, throwing some roundhouses and see what we can do. But, you know, my biggest concern is us wanting to play the best that we can play. And I think that momentum has to start tonight. We have got to cut down turnovers. Kelly, we're lowest in the league, and meaning that we turn the ball over more than any other team in the league, and we've got too good of players for that to be happening.
All right, Coach, good luck tonight. Good luck tonight to the top.
Thank y'all for squeezing. Hey, thanks for squeezing me in. I appreciate it. Look forward to next time.
Thanks for coming on the program. Jay Ladner, we'll get the Chanticleer perspective coming up next with the radio voice, Chris Bergen.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. It is the official pregame and postgame spot for Southern Miss fans. Of course, it'll be the place to be tonight before and after the basketball game with Coastal Carolina, the weekend baseball series with Louisiana Tech. Everybody at Louisiana Tech, or everybody at 4th Street, rather, knows your name, kind of like the TV show Cheers, and you'll always be in good company. Great menu items and cold drinks as well. 4th Street Bar and Grill, proud to support Golden Eagle Athletics. Well, the Eagles and Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina will do battle tonight at 7 o'clock, and who better to give us the Chanticleer perspective than the voice of the Chants? Chris Bergen joins us here on the Eagle Hour. Chris, coming into this game, I guess the good news is for both of these teams, somebody's got to win, right?
I think that's the way it's played, Kelly, before the game is over, whether it's regulation, three overtimes, or play till Friday. Somebody's got to come out of here with a win, and both desperately need a win for sure.
You know, the two schools have a lot in common in the fact that they're both having really disappointing basketball seasons, but baseball has been the sport that both of these schools mm-hmm. have hung their hats on for the last couple of years. But 12 games in a row, though, Chris, that's got to be – and really – you guys came away with a one-point loss at James Madison, which is not an easy place to play. So there are some encouraging things, but nonetheless, it's just been a rough go this year for the Chants.
It absolutely has, and it's actually a program record, so we've never seen anything quite like this. And I don't think Coach Gray and his staff, when they took over first year, thought it would be quite this bad. But there have been some encouraging signs throughout the year. I actually played NC State early in the season in a non-conference game, played them very well. Held NC State without a three-point field goal, which I don't believe I've ever seen in a basketball game since the three-pointer was instituted in college basketball. But at one point in time during the early portion of the season, Coastal was actually the number one three-point field goal percentage defense in the country. Now that's fallen off as Sun Belt opponents have figured out, here's how we get open looks and here's how we knock them down. So yeah, the Sun Belt has been a challenge, but you referenced the two James Madison games. The one earlier in the season up there, close ball game, had a chance to win, and the one Saturday certainly had a chance to win at Conway. They were actually up 10 with, 9 minutes left to go and just couldn't hold on to the victory, and sort of that's been the way the season has gone for them. They'll go into spurts where they don't execute like they need to, and it ultimately costs them in the win-loss column.
The biggest problem they've been having is just hanging on to the basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I have not checked the stats this morning, but my guess is it hasn't changed much. They're minus five in the turnover margin, and Kelly, that's next to last nationally in the country. And part of their problem is they only turn it over about 12 times. I say only. That's not terrible. The problem they've had is they just can't force turnovers. They're only forcing about seven a game, and most of their turnovers are not situations where they'll throw it out of bounds. They do get a shot clock violation and go, well, let's promise you that'll happen at one point in time during the game tonight for them. But their biggest problem has been open floor turnovers that lead to points on the other end. That's why they lost to JMU Saturday. They gave up 19 points off turnovers.
Well, you do have two guys that have played pretty consistently for you this year, Jordan Battle and Rasheed Jones. Tell us about their skill sets, Chris.
Jordan has been terrific, especially since Sun Belt Conference play has begun. He may be one of the best players in league play across the landscape of the league. Probably won't get the recognition he deserves just because the team's not performing well. He's a terrific shooter. Shoots almost, I think it's now 50% from the field and right around 48 or so from three-point range in conference games. So he's plugged in, and he's a terrific shooter. If he gets an open look, more than likely it's going to go down. Rasheed has been up and down. Rasheed was actually better early in the season than he has been here of late, and they're trying to figure out a way to get his game going. That's why he's come off the bench the last couple of ball games. But did have a nice game against James Madison on Saturday. Actually had 16 points off the bench. So hopefully that kind of production will continue the rest of the year for him.
And to be fair to Coach Justin Gray, who's in his first year, in my opinion, he kind of dealt some difficult circumstances in that longtime coach Cliff Ellis, who was the coach of Coastal. Of course, Cliff Ellis goes back. Many older Southern Miss fans will remember way back when Cliff Ellis was the coach at South Alabama, mm-hmm. then had a really good run at Clemson. But he pretty much got tired of the transfer portal and the new look of college sports and just said, I'm done. And it kind of left Justin behind the eight ball a little bit, getting a late start.
Well, no doubt, and it's funny because he's also got his roots in the Atlantic Coast Conference, having coached, as you mentioned, at Clemson, also at Auburn in the SEC. But one thing that many of his colleagues in the ACC have done, the older coaches have walked away. We're seeing Leonard Hamilton
at Florida State. He's going to retire at the end of the season. And I think a lot of the older school coaches just have not been able to adjust and adapt to the transfer portal in particular. And then also name, image, and likeness has been a big deal as well. And I think Coach just got to a point he did not want to continue fighting that battle. The last several years, just to give you an example of players that have gone through Coastal and then gone on to other places, Devontae Jones for Coastal several years ago was an outstanding player, first-team All-Sunbelt type performer. He transfers his last year to Michigan. Ibrahim Adiba, who was an outstanding player, they recruited him from Sweden. He was probably the team leader and defensive catalyst on the team. He transfers to South Carolina after 3 years in Conway. Then most recently, Jacob Meyer, who should have been a first-team All-Sunbelt performer last year and probably freshman of the year in the league, he transfers to DePaul. And I think those type things were just kind of the last straw for Coach. And the program had gotten a little stagnant, just not seeing a whole lot of success in the win-loss column. So the administration, I think, felt like, and Coach stepped down in December, handed it off to his top assistant, Benny Mawson. I think the hope was that Benny could get things turned around and he would retain the job going into the offseason, but that didn't happen, and Coastal struggled through another basketball season. So I think the clean slate was probably the way to go, and it's not showing itself this year, but I've been around the program, sort of immersed in the program, and I've seen what they're trying to do behind the scenes. I think they're laying a really good foundation, and hopefully going into next season, if you're a Coastal fan, you'll start seeing some of those fruits of their labors, because these guys work about as hard as any coaching staff I've ever seen to get no results, especially here the last month and a half.
Well, the Chanticleers 1-13 in Sunbelt play. The Eagles 5-9 in Sunbelt play. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight at the Greenhouse in Hattiesburg. Now, shifting to a sport that you guys are doing pretty well in, and we mentioned it at the very top of the interview, Chris, baseball. Coastal, you know, former national champs, and you got Southern Miss, Troy, Louisiana, the Sun Belt. Although it's always seemingly been a struggle in basketball for the league as a whole to get legs nationally, boy, the baseball league is just really something, isn't it?
It has been outstanding ever since Coastal joined back in 2017. Ironically, right after, the day after Coastal won the national championship in 2016, the school officially moved into the Sun Belt. Had they had another rain delay out in Omaha, that game would have been played on July 1st, I think it was, against Arizona, and that would have been the first official day for Coastal in the Sun Belt. So the Big South actually got to keep a national championship from Coastal before the Chanticleers moved over to the Sun Belt. But, yeah, it has been an outstanding league, and just the addition of Southern Miss has made it that much better. And Coastal's got great tradition and actually doing the same thing a little bit differently, but doing the same thing with a brand-new head coach this year because Gary Gilmore retired, long-time coach at Coastal, guided them to the national championship, multiple trips to the NCAA tournament, a few super regionals, a lot of Big South championships, and he's stepped away. He's had some health issues over the years, so I think he finally realized it was time to hand it off to somebody else, and he actually gave it off to his right-hand man in Kevin Snall, who's been around the program multiple times, actually played at Coastal, then coached as an assistant for a while, went away for a couple of years, came back, and I think with the indication he was going to ultimately be named the head coach when Coach Gilmore stepped down. So they haven't missed a beat there. Probably too many games in a span of time. Their fifth game in 5 days was Tuesday, and they lost to the College of Charleston, who also has a very good baseball team. So one thing our state really likes is football and college baseball. You've got three national champions in our state, two from South Carolina and then one from Coastal Carolina. So our state loves college baseball, and there's some really good teams in South Carolina, and Coastal is certainly in that mix. And we'll find out, I think, a really good measuring stick for them this weekend. They'll be down in Jacksonville participating in a tournament with Alabama. Ole Miss, I think, is down there. No, excuse me. Alabama, Ohio State, and NC State are the other three teams down there. So it should be a really good test for Kevin Snall and Coastal in his first season.
Yeah, another thing where Southern Miss is alike, that Christian Ostrander took over from his former head coach, Scott Barry. So what do you think will be the strengths of the – of course, we kind of joke on this program, Chris. There's no sense in anybody else showing up. Apparently Troy has been crowned by everybody the champs before games ever been played. But what do you see as the strengths and for the Chants in baseball and something that might keep them up at night right now?
Well, it's going to be the health of their pitching staff. Kevin Snall said before the season began he feels like if the pitching staff holds and is healthy – it may be as good as they've ever had, and that's speaking volumes. If you watch their run through the NCAA tournament back in 2016 when they won the national championship, had a terrific pitching staff. They should be fine on the mound. They'll be terrific behind the plate, and Caden Bodine, who's going to be probably a first first-round selection in the upcoming amateur draft. He's a switch-hitting catcher. You don't see that very often. He's a really good receiver. He throws out runners all the time. So they're really solid up the middle, which is what you're supposed to be right in college baseball, and they should be terrific pitching-wise, and that's going to be the only question mark. If those guys stay healthy, they should be fine. Take out the College of Charleston game in which they gave up 15 runs. I just think they were a little tired. No, like I said, that was their fifth game in 5 days. But otherwise, this ought to be a very good Coastal team that was picked fourth in the Sun Belt in the preseason polls. If that gives you any indication how good the league is.
Well, tonight Chris will be on the call as the Golden Eagles and Chanticleers play in basketball at Reed Green Coliseum. These two teams have only met once before, and that was last year in Conway with the Eagles winning that one 79-63. Chris Bergen, thank you so much for your insight, continued success, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Kelly, my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on the show, and enjoy the game tonight.
Chris Bergen, the radio voice of Coastal Carolina. We'll be back with news and notes with Andrew Abbotty when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Michael Mergens. A lot to get to in this final segment. By the way, full disclosure, the last interview that we did with the radio voice, of course, of the Chanticleers, Chris Bergen, was pre-recorded. I thought Andrew was going to be here today. As it turns out, he's not, but certainly wanted to let you know that was the situation there. All right, this segment brought to you by DBAT, perfect training for your softball or young baseball player in the house, right off of Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg. So that's the only place you really want to go. Also, physical fitness, if you want to get into shape, learn about losing weight, how you can do that affordably and comfortably. Well, as comfortable as you can lose weight. DBAT is the place you want to go to. Genesis of Hattiesburg is also the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. You can visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Southern Miss Baseball has a series coming up this weekend in Hattiesburg against Louisiana Tech. Because of the frigid temperatures that are predicted for tomorrow night, game one of that three-game series has been bumped up to a 4 p.m. start as opposed to a 6 p.m. start. So make a note of that. Game one, scheduled for tomorrow, Southern Miss against Louisiana Tech, has been moved to 4 p.m. Now, Saturday's first pitch at 2, Sunday's first pitch at 1, remain the same. And the Golden Eagles announced their pitching rotation for the weekend. J.B. Middleton will go in game one. Cross Civilly, the scheduled starter for game two. Matthew Adams scheduled to go in game three. And for those of you wondering about the severity of the injury to Chandler Best, they're still not sure, but we know for sure that he will not be available this weekend. Okay, so remember, game one tomorrow at 4 instead of 6. The softball team is headed to the LSU Invitational in Baton Rouge. They will begin play tomorrow against Nicholls State. That's a 1 p.m. start. Then they will take on the 5th-ranked LSU Lady Tigers at 6 p.m. So again, softball tomorrow against Nicholls at 1, LSU at 6. Then on Saturday, they will play Penn State at 11 a.m., and they'll play LSU again at 4, and then they'll round out that tournament with a single game on Sunday against Penn State at 11 a.m., the softball team at the LSU Invitational. Women's basketball was beaten last night on the road against South Alabama. They lost that game 66-57. That was really a tough one because South Al was at the bottom of the standings in the Sun Belt and remained there, actually. Even with the win, South Alabama's conference record is only 2-13. They did advance their record overall to 6 wins and 10 losses. But the Lady Eagles dropped to 9-18 overall, 4-11 in conference play. Obviously, the way it looks right now, the only way that any of the teams, both men's and women's basketball, are going to get any type of a postseason bid would be to win the conference tournament, which takes place in Pensacola beginning on March 4th. Stay informed with the Pine Belt News, your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore all their other publications, including Signature Magazine. You can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually if you live outside Forest and Lamar counties. You can follow the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms, or you can visit their website at hubcityspokes.com. And as many of you are doing, don't forget, if you don't get to listen to us live on any of the stations that that this program goes out to live, you can join us via the podcast format on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube, where you can just tell Alexa to play the Eagle Hour. And finally, out of New Orleans today, the New Orleans Saints have their offensive coordinator for new head coach Kellen Moore. Moore has hired the Philadelphia Eagle offensive coordinator, Doug Nussmeier. Nussmeier actually has a lot of ties to Louisiana and the New Orleans area. He was a former New Orleans Saint back in the day, was drafted in 1994 by the Saints out of the University of Idaho. And his son, he wanted to come back to the New Orleans area anyway, given the chance, because his son is Garrett Nussmeier, who is QB1 down at LSU. So Doug Nussmeier getting to reunite with son Garrett a little bit closer to home. So again, recap, we want to thank our guest today, Coach Jay Ladner. It's very unusual that coaches will avail themselves on the day of a game. We appreciate Coach Ladd joining us. Chris Bergen, the radio voice of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, and Newton Mueller, the head basketball coach, the men's head basketball coach at Jones College. The Bobcats will head to Poplarville tonight against the Wildcats, coached by Chris Oney. That's a 7:30 start. And again, although there are a couple of games left on the schedule, for all practical purposes, that will be for the MACCC Men's Basketball Championship. Tomorrow, before the Louisiana Tech Series, we are going to originate the program live on the road from Fuzzy's Taco Shop in Midtown, pardon me, in Hattiesburg. One of our favorite places to hang out, as it is a lot of Southern Miss fans. So if you don't have any plans for lunch, we're going to be there live right when you come inside that front door. Come see us. We might have some Super Talk stuff to give away, and we're going to talk Southern Miss Louisiana Tech baseball tomorrow when we originate the program live from Fuzzy's Taco Shop in Midtown Hattiesburg. Hey, have a good Thursday. Glad that you could join us wherever you were today. For producer engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. The gang will be at Fuzzy's tomorrow. We hope you will be too. But until then, Southern Miss
to the top,
slipping into the future. On slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.